I want to greet all of you this morning in Jesus' name. Thankful to be here and be among those who are desiring to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Father, we come before you this morning and we just want to thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Help us, Lord, to have our hearts open to hear your will this morning, Lord, that we may hear the call of you on our lives, that we may return to you, Lord. Give us wisdom, Father. Help us be faithful to you. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning, I want to turn to Matthew chapter 7. We'll talk about foundations this morning. One of the verses that has always stuck out to me is in Psalms, and it says that if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I've looked at that, and that's always weighed on my mind in Christianity. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I remember being in the evangelical churches and just looking around me, and that was one of the verses that I just realized there was just nothing there to build on. The foundations were destroyed. I remember one time that we were just talking about a simple thing about modesty in children. And one of the older women in the church just stuck her finger right in my face and said, "Now that doesn't matter. That's not important." And I just thought, you know, if the older women aren't teaching the younger women modesty and decency, there's nothing to build on there. And that's one of the reasons why I left those churches. Later I've found that that wasn't the only problem, but that sure was a big problem. And as I've walked this life and unlearned so many things that I had been drilled into me, that I'd had drilled into me about what Christianity is, I've just seen more and more things of the foundation being destroyed. And I want to just begin this morning in the foundations that Jesus talked about and what he said about it. Where our message is not based on the theology of Paul or what we could take from Paul. Our message and our hope is built on Jesus Christ. And Paul even says that the message, the foundation, is built on Christ as the cornerstone. And if He's not the foundation, our gospel is a false one. If our gospel is based on anything other than what Christ taught, it's wrong. We see churches and people falling all around us. Their foundations are crumbling right under their feet, and they don't know why it's happening. We see people that have built their foundation on some form of the gospel, and then it begins to crumble and they have no answers. I don't know how many people I've talked to, preachers in Anabaptists and plain circles or remnant type churches, that they just don't have the answers for the problem. Many churches have resorted to sending people off to different counselors because they don't have the answers themselves. Their foundation is crumbling right under them, and all they can do is just add a bunch of more regulations and a bunch more rules from it onto what they're doing. Matthew chapter 7. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Jesus makes it very clear. He's laying a foundation here of His teachings. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, He gives clear instructions on how we're to conduct our lives. And at the close of what He taught, He gave that if a man will not hear these instructions and do them, he builds his house on the sand, and it will fall. But if a man will hear what He says and do them, he'll build his house upon the rock. Today we're taught that in the evangelical circles and even in the most plain circles, that we just believe in Jesus, that we believe that He died, and that we believe that He rose again, and we ask Him to forgive us, and we'll be saved. And I just want to tell you right now, that is not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught us that we're to hear Him, that we're to listen to His voice. And He's given us words written down, but it even goes deeper than that. You and I were created in the image of God. We were created in the image of God. And man chose to walk away from that image. We're taught today, many times people teach, like we were created in the image of Satan, and it's an odd thing to go back to God. That because of sin, we were created to sin, and it's odd to go back to God. That is false. The whole concept of our being totally depraved and our being totally lost is on the concept that we don't even have a choice in the matter. We're just sinners by nature. That is not what we are. We are created in the image of God by nature. We have chosen to follow a sinful nature. We have chosen to rebel against what God created us to be in the first place. We have chosen to go against what we were made to be. That's what sin is. Going the opposite. Going against what we were made to be. God made us in His image. That doesn't mean two hands and two feet and two eyes and two ears. That's not what He's talking about. His image is that image of goodness and righteousness and justness and mercy. That is stamped on our hearts. That's what we were created in His image. That's what it means by His image. It's not that we just look like Him. It means we're created in the nature of what God is. And God is good. We were created for good. He looked upon all things and said it was good. But man chose to depart from that. It didn't erase all the good that God put on man. It was still there, and it is still there. It's written in our hearts. Right and wrong. We look at Satan as having... We give him way too much power over sin. We just say, oh, I'm just a sinner by nature. No, we're not. We're created in the image of God by nature. And we have rebelled and turned and chosen to follow Satan. When we choose our own way, we're not choosing the way we were made. We're choosing the way that we were, that led to sin, that brought damnation in this world. We've chosen that path. And anytime we choose to ignore what God has written on our hearts and what Jesus had taught us to live by, we're going away from what God made us to be. We're not falling to God. We've fallen from God. And so, which is it easier? To go back to the way we were made or to go on to something and deform ourselves? Which is easier? We've just made it out, or we've been taught that it's just hard to be good. It's not. It's in your nature. It was what you were created for. The reason you find it hard to be good is because you don't want to be good. You don't want to make those right decisions. You don't want to love your neighbor. You don't want to forgive people. You don't want to do what's right. You've chosen that you would rather take the way that leads away from you, how you were created, instead of going towards it. And this foundation, these teachings that Christ taught, are teachings that, whenever it said here, "For He taught as one having authority and not as the scribes." Whenever He spoke, men knew that what He was saying was the truth. They may not believe it. They may not understand it. They may not know it. They may not want it. But they know that there is some authority in what He was saying. They know that what He said was the truth. They may hate it. They may reject it. But they can't get away that that is resonating with something that's already written in their heart. I'll give you an example. There's these men that are coming home from the wars. They're fighting. They've been fighting the people here in Afghanistan and Iraq. They've gone over there and they've took up arms because the government told them to do it. And they believed the lie that they were doing their duty, their Christian duty, to go defend their rights here, or defend some other's rights. And they go over there with these false ideas, and they get over there and they begin to see people being killed. They begin to see things happening that they're a part of. They might even have to pull the trigger and kill someone. They might have to throw a grenade in the middle of people and watch parts fly out. And they see that. And no matter how much they've been conditioned to press on and carry on in that battle, there's something written in their hearts that tells them it's wrong. They know that they're a part of something wrong. And they come back and they have they've got a title for it. They used to call it shell shock or battle fatigue or many different names. Now they call it PTS, post-traumatic stress disorder. They can't handle it. And the psychologists try to smooth it all out, and they have little classes and they want to talk it all out, but they're missing the problem. I've got an answer for their PTDS. It's they've gone against what was written in their heart about killing another man. They've gone against being a part of something that destroys another human being. God made us as a family. God made us to love our brothers and our sisters. That's what Jesus was trying to tell us. To do good to all men. To do good. If someone takes something from you, help them a little more. If someone does something wrong to you, forgive them and love them. The reason our consciences bother us is because we know we're going against what we were created to be in the first place. And Satan grabs hold of that conscience. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he comes at you because you know you've gone against. And he just gets a hold of that and he just pulls it in tighter. He's got a hold on that. And I think that's what the blood was for. One of the purposes was to show Satan that he was defeated. And he has no more power. So that that conscience can be cleansed. It sets free man from Satan's accusations. It sets him free from those things. And just being set free and forgiven doesn't make you a Christian. That just shows the power of God in your life. Being a Christian is someone who follows the teachings of Jesus. And that's what he's saying here in this passage that we're reading. If your foundation is on what I'm teaching you, it will stand. And it's just that simple. And if you try to mix anything else with it, it won't work. Jesus taught with power and authority. Those soldiers that are fighting, if they would repent and return and listen to God speaking to their hearts on the inside, they could be delivered from what they've been doing and the sin that they've been involved in with the government. They could be delivered and set free from those things. But if you just try to smooth it over and fix it, you miss it. Face your conscience. Face the truth. The truth will set you free. Jesus has the answers. If we'll follow Him. If we'll pay the price that it takes. The problem is a lot of people want to beautiful fruit. They want the fruit, but they're not willing to pay the price to get it. You know, there's a lot of people, they want the fruit of fellowship. They want the fruit of people who are living together and following the teachings of Jesus and the blessings that come from it, but they just aren't willing to pay the price to get it themselves. That fellowship comes when everyone is paying their own price and we unite with others who are paying that price also. That's where our kinship is. That's where the fellowship of Christianity is. That we've all paid the price. We've taken up our own crosses and are following daily the teachings of Jesus. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one decision and all's well. We take up our cross daily and walk in the light. Walk is a progressive thing. It's not something that just stands still or you just take one step. If your baby just took one step and that's all, you'd think there was something wrong with it. You'd wonder why he doesn't go on and take the next step. But whenever we're told that all we have to do is take that first step and we're all fine, that's all we're going to take. The foundations of Christianity are the teachings of Jesus. And people are running around all over the world looking for some answers to why it isn't working. And the answer is right in front of them. In fact, it's within you. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. That means it's within your power. That means that God created you in the very first, in the beginning, with everything you need to follow Him. And man has chosen not to. Man has chosen to follow Satan and his way, to listen to Satan instead of following God. We have an enemy, and it is hard because of Satan. But Satan has been defeated. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The kingdom is within you. Jesus said in another place that there in the last days they'll say, "Oh, he's over there." And everybody runs over there. And then, no, he's over there. And everybody runs over there. And they're trying to fix the situation to where that's real Christianity or this is real Christianity. They're trying to create something. Because, well, the Bible said they did something then. Let's all run over there and do it. Let's all run over here and live like this for a while. That's a bad foundation and it will crumble. There's a lot of fads going on in people who are actually trying to seek the truth. And there's a new fad here and a new fad there. Just like the world chasing after the new fad. And the kingdom is right within you all the time. And instead of just living and being what you were created to be, people are running around chasing after this or that, trying to create a situation that makes it all work. And that is not the answer. It will not work. It's a foundation that's not built on the foundation of the kingdom of God within us. The message of the kingdom of God is you being what God made you to be. The kingdom of God, the message of the kingdom is you to be. You to be. Not what society forces you to be or tries to pressure you into. Just be what God wants you to be. We have so much pressure from society, pressure from church, pressure from all those things to conform to what everyone else wants you to be. You be, and we will be conformed. Much of Christianity today is so plastic, and I'm talking about churches that follow the kingdom message. They're plastic. They look beautiful on the outside, but there's just a coldness. There's just something wrong there. You can be a cold, plastic image of something, but if you're not real, you're nothing. I went to church with one group for a long time, and after about 3 or 4 years, I finally went up to them and I said, "You know, I just kept waiting for some day to come in the church and see everybody just doing all their just little perfect thing. But I've just got a feeling." And I told them this after church one day. "You just go into church and everything's just so-so. And everybody has just so-so. And everybody's life is just perfect. And I just waited and waited for this to crumble. Because the decisions they made, they couldn't even make the decisions on their own towards the right. There wasn't a walking. It was just a stale plasticness." And I told them one day, I said, "You know, I just kept waiting for one day for me to walk in this church and everybody just reaches down here and gets a hold of their mask and just... Bleh! And I would see your realness." And they went, scared them to death. And it just proved what I was trying to tell them. Scared them to death. Because they knew their face was plastic. They knew their smile was plastic. They're nice people. They're good people. And I love them. But there's not a realness to them. There's not a real following Jesus. There's not a real just willing to be who they were and who they are with their mistakes, with their flaws. They try to create rules so nobody has flaws, so everybody can get along. We need to learn to get along with people with their flaws. We need to learn to people to live with people with their flaws. If you can't love everyone in this world, if you can't love if you can't stand to be around anyone, you won't be in heaven. I don't care what they are. I don't care how bad they are. You might have to flee from them if they're hurting you or trying to kill you. But if you can't forgive them and love them, no matter how mean, no matter how cruel they are, if you couldn't stand them, you won't be in heaven. Because they're your brother, no matter how far they've fallen. God, they have the same image of God in them, no matter how deep it may be buried, no matter how much is piled on of their sin and how hardened their hearts are. God created them just like you. Being a Christian is not the perfection, the plasticness that we're taught about. Not the perfect situations over here or over there. Being a Christian is being real. Putting into practice the teachings of Jesus. That is a Christian and no more. Anything added to that detracts from it. Anything taken away from it takes away from it. Being a Christian is following Jesus. And it's just that simple. It's popular to talk about the kingdom. It's popular now to talk about the kingdom. It's popular to say all the right things. It's the new buzzwords, maybe, of Christianity. And so people want to write articles about it. And they want to talk about it. They want to preach about it. Christ wants us to live it. Christ wants us to throw away all the fakeness and just live the way God made you to be. People are trying to reestablish or create circumstances of living all together. Community is a big, popular thing now. Trying to create a circumstance or a situation where I can live out my Christian life. It's backwards. You live out your Christian life and those things will happen spontaneously. You'll love to help other people. You will be a part of everyone's life. And our fellowship will be based on something real instead of something man has tried to create. These situations or these circumstances. The gifts. People are running after gifts, trying to get this gift or that gift. You be something. You be a Christian. And God may give you a gift. You be what you need to be. You pursue what will produce those gifts. You know, sometimes we've always heard about the you know, don't ever pray for patience. Don't pray for patience. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Because God will send you trouble. And so we don't want that trouble. We just want the gift. We don't want to pay the price to produce the fruit. If you pray for patience, God's probably going to send some trouble your way. And we avoid that. We don't want that. We hate that. We don't like it. That's trouble. That's not what I wanted. I wanted patience. But you know how patience is produced? It's when you learn how to deal with trouble and problems and things that you don't like. That's how you produce fruit. Fruit in the Bible is something Jesus always talked of, practical things. It isn't some mystical, magic thing that's going to happen to you that's going to make you a Christian. If you want to be a Christian, you start applying the teachings of Jesus in your life, and pretty soon you'll probably be one. If you want the fruit, you start pursuing the things that'll grow that fruit. If I want to grow a fruit tree, I got to plant a fruit tree for the first. I got to plant a seed of a fruit tree. At first, I got to till the ground. I got to dig a hole. I got to fertilize it. I got to water it. I got to prune it. I got to nurture it. I got to keep it free from pests so that it'll grow the fruit. I don't just go out there and pray and say, God, grow me a fruit tree. I want an apple. That's not the way it happens. God is a practical God. If you want something, we've separated spirituality from us. That it's not within us anymore. It's something that God has to do in us or do for us. But if you don't prepare the ground for the seed that's planted, you'll never grow any fruit. If you don't make straight the path and fill in the valley and bring down the mountains and clear out the path, make the crooked way straight, Jesus will never come. If you're faithful in a little bit, God will give you much. But if you're not even faithful in the simplest little things, it's all you're going to get, and that'll probably be taken away from you. You want God, you seek it. Just as practical as you would planting a garden. You do the things that it takes to grow a garden. You do those things in your soul to grow the fruit that would produce. You do those things. You get that which is out of the way. You turn up some things. You have to turn some things upside down. You have to break up the soil. You have to put the right seed in it. And this is the right seed. The wrong seed is, God's just going to do it all. I'm a sinner. And if He don't save me, I'm just lost. That's the wrong seed. Whenever you're just asking God to change you, and you sit back and just wait for God to change you, you're planting the wrong seed. And you'll reap the same fruit that everyone else is growing, that we all detest in Christianity. You plant the same seed, you'll grow the same fruit. But if you get to the seed of what the Bible's talking about, what I'm telling you, what the Holy Spirit of God is telling you, you seek after that and you will grow the right fruit. Guaranteed. We've been fed lies. We've been trying to create circumstances, running here and there, trying to fix everything. And the problem is the seed. The seed is the gospel of the kingdom. And if you try to poison that seed or make a hybrid out of it or mix it all up, you'll get a hybrid. Or you'll get nothing. If you sow corruption, you'll reap corruption. If you sow righteousness, you'll reap righteousness. There isn't a thing in the Bible that backs up what they're talking about. You just start looking and read it. Everything puts the condition on what you're going to do with the gospel. Everything in there puts the responsibility on you. And if you don't do it, it will not get done. You'll lose your soul and everyone around you that you might have helped if you'd have done what was right. You reap what you sow. If you sow sitting around waiting on... How many things in this life do you sit around and wait for somebody else to do something for you? It's... Today, people are thinking that God's just waiting. All it is just Christian welfare. And Jesus is not a welfare agent. He has given us all things. It's written on our heart. And unless we take what He's given us and do what's right with it. The man with the talents. He gave 1 10 and 1 5 and 1 1. The two went out and done something with what He gave them. The other took and hid it because he couldn't do anything. He was just a sinner. No need for him to change. When the servant came back from his far journey, or the king came back from his journey, he said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I would demand this of you. It's written on your hearts that God demands of you something. And if you just cover that in a napkin and bury it, waiting on God to do something for you, you'll be the wicked and slothful servant, just like this one was." You want to be good? You do good. You want to love? You learn to love. You know what? God will probably send a lot of unlovely people your way. That's how you grow. Iron sharpeneth iron, and it doesn't sharpen it unless there's some friction there. There's some grinding has to go on to get that sharp. There's some rub the wrong way that has to be there to get it sharp. It's real. It's practical. It's called being a Christian. You want to be giving? Start giving. Give till you don't have nothing left. You look for someone who has a need. There's plenty of them. Help them. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. There's action in all of those things. Overcome evil with good. That's how you overcome things. You don't overcome them and say, "God, just change my heart." You face it head on and overcome it with good instead of evil. You don't resist the evil. When you resist, just like these men that have gone to war, when you resist, it doesn't matter how good the cause was. Right in here, when you come home and you'd lay your head on the pillow, and that keeps running through your mind, what you did, what you did, what you did. You can run from it. You can try to cover it up. You can try to hide it. You resist not evil. You turn. You repent of it. And you face the truth. You face reality. That God told me not to do it, and I went against Him. And the only deliverance from it is to turn from it and run back to God and follow what He's taught us in our hearts to do. The foundation. This foundation will stand the test of time. If it's built on anything else, it may look like, you know, there's stories about contractors making cheap concrete. It looks real good whenever they're setting it up or whenever they're... But a few years it begins to crumble, and there's some countries that they build them out of this cheapest concrete and they water it down and they put false or cheaper chemicals in it, and then the bridge will fall down sometime that they made the bridge out of. And people will die. That's the way this foundation is. If the foundation that you're building isn't built on this rock of hearing His teachings and doing them, your foundation will crumble. Get that foundation built and you can start growing some fruit. You can start building your house. But if that foundation isn't right, it don't matter what you do. It'll fall. God requires faithfulness. He's looking for someone who will be faithful to Him. That will bring Him glory. Not by saying, "Oh, I'm helpless, God just does it all." By having that image passed on and passed on to the next one and to the next one. Build your foundation on Christ's teachings and Christ. If your foundations of Christ are not built on Christ's teachings, you have a false Christ. It isn't there. Don't worry about where you've been. Press on into the kingdom now. God's brought us this far. Keep pressing on. May the Lord add His blessings to His words. Help us to understand and hear them. Put them into practice in our lives. Build our foundation on Him. Do those things that produce fruit. A lazy man just sits back and waits for something to happen. A righteous man pursues those things. Seek you first the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. If you're just sitting back waiting for it to happen, you'll get just what you're waiting for. Nothing. You'll get just what you put into it. Nothing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share or add?
Last night I was talking with this guy up in Kansas City. He started preaching because we had been preaching there, and he thought he felt he needed to tell me. And I had just left these basic ideas of evangelism or evangelicalism. He started coming out, started turning away from the way of the master stuff and try to start figuring out, how do I get to even what Jesus taught to these people? Well, anyways, he's completely gone the opposite way. When he came out, he was pretty much a Calvinist. And he's completely an evangelical dispensationalist. And it's just so clear that the foundation that they have, there are several false foundations, innumerable. I mean, whatever you want, they can create these crumbly cement foundations. There's only one foundation that will give you life, and that's the teachings of Jesus. But just two examples of false foundation that he talked about last night was, we were talking about, you have to do what Christ says, and he says, well, you will do what Christ says if you're truly saved. And I said, we were talking on two different planes. His foundation was, if you're truly saved, you'll do what Christ says. And I was saying, you just have to do what Christ says in order to even begin to have a chance of being saved. You have to do it. And he says, well, you can't. And then he went on to the second foundation that he was leaning on, was this idea of what he thinks righteousness is, which is only, according to him, given to somebody when they get saved, which are just evangelical fundamental foundations. And the idea of that is that this righteousness is really this eternal thing way out there that really is unattainable while we're here. But if we get saved, we might get glimpses of living that way when, like you said, just be what God wants you to be. The kingdom of God is within us, and because Jesus broke the power of sin and death, all men can do that. It's not based on whether or not they're on the foundation that they got saved, and then it'll show, because we'll start slowly doing what Jesus said. All men can do what Jesus said, and that's what real righteousness is, because it's simply being normal. All doing what Jesus teaches us to do is just being the way God created us, normal. Righteousness isn't this transcendental thing way out there. It's simply doing what's right. And right is just being normal. Righteousness is, and even our remnant, the remnant circles have the same idea, that righteousness is so unattainable. And I just someday hope to stop lusting. How is it when you go out and preach? Do you stumble all the time? I mean, those women are so... Well, no, I mean, when I realized that I could stop, and I had to, I just stopped. Well, it's because the idea of this righteousness is something that's progressive, like progressive revelation, mm-hmm. when it's simply just living the way that I was created to live. And when Paul says, just consider yourself dead to the flesh, reckon yourself as dead, that's just realizing that I'm alive to being the way God created me.
Amen.
And that is the foundation. That's what Jesus taught, was just, you just be normal. Just be normal. Be right. Be righteous. We got to get this idea of righteousness away from this super spiritualized, Calvinistic, predestinationary idea of holiness to simply just do what's right. It's right to do good to all men. Right to give to those who have need. To be peaceful. That's all it is.
Practical.
Just do what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Everything. Sin that I gave myself to. I mean, I was using drugs, alcohol, cigarettes. But I remember I used to have a pretty big resentment against my dad because, like, I was growing marijuana in the garden and he didn't allow it, but it wasn't ripping it up and throwing it away. You know, I mean, it was just like, you just need to get this off the property. You know, it wasn't like, you can't do this, it's just, I don't want it on the property. But there was always cigarettes or tobacco available, but I remember when I started to do these things, there was always a voice inside me telling me that I wasn't supposed to do this. And I mean, and really, that was part of the allure of it, I guess, is to break that conscience. I mean, you got excitement from doing the things you weren't supposed to do. And I mean, whether it was you know, cigarettes, and it progressed. I mean, you start with smoking cigarettes, then you start with drinking alcohol, then you start with smoking marijuana, and then it progresses with the harder drugs. But each time I tried something new, there was a voice telling me that I wasn't supposed to cross this line. But I still chose to cross that line. And then I do believe that once you get so far into it, that, I mean, it takes a miracle from God. It takes the grace of God to get you to stop. I mean, it takes, you know, because you're addicted to it. Obviously, drugs are...
You've got to be set free from it.
But, yes.
That's what Christ did.
But, and then you go to a treatment center, and you're looking for help, and the first thing that they tell you is, it's not your fault that you're addicted to drugs. You were born this way. And I mean, isn't that so easy for the flesh? Because you have just a whole mess behind you. I mean, you are a tornado to every life that you touch. You are robbing, stealing, you know, whatever you can do to get the drugs. And then you go to a treatment center and they tell you, it's not your fault. You were born that way. And that's just so easy for the flesh. Because you don't have to accept the things that you had done in your past. I mean, it's not your fault. If it's not your fault, then I wasn't my fault that I was stealing. It wasn't my fault that I was, you know, robbing people. And I mean, until you accept the fact that you can stop doing drugs, you can stop smoking cigarettes, if you weren't born this way, I mean, you have to accept that to get better. I mean, it's not... You weren't born that way. I don't care what they say. But you were talking about the evangelical message has the psychology has bled into the evangelical message.
Yes.
I think the evangelical message has bled into the psychology. But they were preaching this in the early 60s.
Right.
Now all of psychology is it's not your fault you were born this way. I mean, that's what they tell you today. Oh, you're not a drug addict, you were born this way. Oh, you're not a thief, you were born this way. Oh, you're not gay, you were born this way.
I mean, you're not a sinner, you were born this way.
Since the beginning.
Exactly.
Well, not since the beginning, but I guess since the 50s, the evangelicals have been telling people that you were born into sin, that you can do nothing to please God.
Right.
I don't really know when that started. I guess believers.
Long time ago. That's what really fueled it. It goes all the way back to Augustine, even. It's just taking the personal responsibility out of your life. Whenever that personal responsibility is removed, you're toast.
And then we were talking about being faithful in the little things. And that's the hardest thing to do, is just to be faithful in the smallest thing. I mean, sometimes... You're at work and you can cut a corner and nobody would know. And it would make the job go 10, 15 minutes earlier and you're trying to leave on Friday or whatever. But you know it's not right. I mean, you're supposed to do the little things. And it doesn't have to be a job, but I mean, that's where we learn to be faithful. It's in our day-to-day lives. It's not
on
the big things. If we're faithful in the small things, then we'll be faithful with the big things. That's what the Bible says. But that's where we have to learn to be faithful. It's just like, I mean, for me, you know, they say if a chicken lays an egg and it sees it, it will lay, you know, the rest of the chickens will lay an egg there. So I have to walk all the way across the house so to see one little egg laying in the corner. And it's just like, wow, it'd be so easy. Now we have a bunch of hot wires so the chickens don't get on top of the waters, the feeders. And sometimes the inside of your leg will get that hot wire when you're trying to get, and you're just thinking, wow, it'd be so easy just to not do that, or take the stick and beat the egg into the slats so they don't see it. But my job is to cross over the slats, get the egg, and put it in the box. I mean, that's my job. And that's what I have to be faithful in. If I'm going to be a Christian, a disciple of Christ, I have to be faithful in the little bit. And it's hard. I mean, sometimes you're just like, wow, it'd be a lot easier just to cut corners, you know? But I don't know. I know for me, if I'm not walking, then I'm done. I mean, there's no... I don't think I have a second chance. And I don't want to risk going back to where I was, because I don't think God would have mercy. I just don't think, you know, I just don't believe that. But anyway.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else? All right, then. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back at 6 this evening. Friday, be going to Columbia. Be there over the weekend with Brother Ishmael, and we're going to Bogota to meet some of the other brethren there that are interested. So keep that in your prayers. Anything else need to be announced before we dismiss? All right. Let's stand. We'll just close with prayer. Father, we just thank You again for Your goodness and Your mercy to us. Lord, help us to be faithful to You. Lord, we pray that Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help us, Father, to look to You for all our needs, Father. Lord, that we just be what You want us to be. Lord, help us be faithful to You until You return again in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Son of righteousness.
Sure.